May 1st, 2003, the day that George W. Bush landed on the USS Abraham Lincoln off the coast of San Diego and declared mission accomplished. On that day, I was in Fallujah, unembedded. I have spent about 6 months in Iraq on three different trips under occupation. May and June of 2003, February, March, April, and May of 2004, and January, February of this year to cover the elections. And at no time during that period have I been embedded with the U.S. military. If any of you have questions later on about soldiers and American soldiers and what they're doing in Iraq from their perspective, it will be very difficult for me to explain that to you because being unembedded, I had to view the situation from the Iraqi perspective. And in 2003, it was very easy to walk up to an American soldier and talk to them about what was going on. But within a few months of the beginning of the occupation, and especially in 2004, for reasons that I'll explain, the Americans no longer talk to the Iraqi people except for on the other side of a barrel of a gun. And as an independent journalist, it was impossible for me to talk to American soldiers. And just to give you an idea of how bad this is and how bad the situation in Iraq is today, if a U.S. Humvee breaks down on the interstate going through Baghdad, they close the interstate to protect the soldier. That is how distant the American serviceman is from the regular Iraqi person right now. So that said, let me just say that I never went to Iraq before the war or when the initial bombing campaign was going on. And there are two reasons for this. The first reason is that I didn't want to die. And I didn't have a lot of experience as a war reporter, and I didn't think it would be wise for me to plonk myself down in Baghdad while the U.S. military was throwing Tomahawk cruise missiles, cluster bombs, and daisy cutters at the country. But the second reason was the government of Iraq itself, a very difficult government to report under as an independent journalist. You were told what you could cover and what you couldn't cover. If you wanted to go out to do a story, you had to go out with a member of the secret police so that that secret policeman would guarantee that the person you were interviewing would say, Saddam Hussein is the greatest president ever, and we will fight till we die to preserve our great leader, Saddam Hussein. And you could cover events like the election, where 100% of the people in Iraq turned out, with 100% of them voting for Saddam Hussein. I mean, we think that elections are a little bit wacky in this country. So during the invasion period, I was spending my time in Jordan and Turkey covering the regional implications of the war, because as we know, this war is not only about Iraq. And I was going into communities, as I've been trained to do as a community radio journalist, working through Pacifica, talking to folks about the human cost of war. And one of the stories I did from Turkey was I went to this village called Özverin, which is 200 miles from the Iraqi border, 800 miles from Baghdad, and a U.S. Tomahawk cruise missile had bombed its lentil field. This was one of three Turkish villages bombed by the U.S. military. The U.S. military also bombed Syria and Iran during the initial invasion. And I thought if the U.S. military was bombing Turkey, Syria, and Iran, if we were hitting the wrong countries, that the situation on the ground in Iraq would have to be pretty disastrous. And this was further underscored to me when I went to Ankara to cover a press conference at the house of the Turkish foreign minister, Abdullah Gül. Colin Powell had come to town to patch up relations with Ankara. Because, as you'll recall, Turkey is the only country in the Middle East with a functioning parliament, so it was the only one that could honor the wishes of its citizens and vote against the war. So Colin Powell came to patch things up, And a Turkish journalist asked him about the bombing of a maternity ward in Baghdad the night before. And Colin Powell said, as you look at these images on your television screens, know that we are being as precise as possible, as surgical as possible in our attacks against the Iraqi regime. So I just thought he was lying. But actually, when I went to Iraq myself, a few weeks after the fall of Saddam Hussein, when a U.S. military crane pulled down his statue in the center of Baghdad, I found that by and large, we do have smart bombs. And we were targeting symbols and parts of the regime. Now, what does this mean? We bomb military bases. We bomb the ministries, although not the oil ministry. We bomb the telephone grid, because as you know, Saddam Hussein used the telephone. But of course, regular Iraqi people also like to use the telephone. What we did not do, though, was we did not bomb houses. We did not bomb places of business and places of worship during the initial invasion in March of 2003.